Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the man who's screaming from the rooftops for the big banks to help out America's small businesses, the Robin Hood of small business.
Now, don't be so rude, the banks. How? We fired our CEO and he barely got out with $50 million.
That poor man, is he okay?
Well, as okay as you can be in the north of France.
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. Very excited about having our good friend Joel Barker back on the show. Joel is such a great member of our Brain Trust now for the last, golly, how long, 13 years now? Over 13 years you've been hanging out with us. And we couldn't do without him. He's one of the great futurists of our time. He's one of my mentors, folks. And I don't mind saying that. And he's the author of a number of books on implications, putting things together, including one of my business Bibles, the Paradigms, the Business of Discovering the Future. He's our good friend Joel. Welcome back.
Thank you, Jim. Happy to be so.
It's good to have you back. So, Joel, you got a report on something that's very apropos and timely. We just had a hurricane, a Category 5 hurricane, to land on the Bahamas. I've been to the Bahamas. It was a beautiful place. But so many parts of Bahamas right now are literally look like it was hit by an atomic bomb. I mean, I've seen pictures, and it's frightening. And I mean, there's no one even can live there. There's no place for them to go back to. So if that place is ever going to be repopulated, they could use some help from technology. Tell us about what's on your radar now.
Yeah, they sure could. And if you think about it, this is close enough that if they could just start taking the prototype technology and start developing it on the site, they can do two things. They can repopulate homes, and they can fine-tune the process. It's 3D printing. Again, you know, we keep seeing things come up like graphene and 3D printing. And a company in New York has just done a test model to show that they printed the structure of the house. They didn't print the roof. The roof was added afterwards, right. So were the windows and the doors were added. But the structure of the house
walls.
Was printed in, well, yeah, the walls were printed and the floor. Mm-hmm. were printed in 12 hours.
Wow.
Now, think about a system where you would lay out your street. Next to the street, you would lay out track, which is what this system runs on.
Mm-hmm.
And it would print house A, and then print house B, and print house C,
wow.
and print house D. And every 12 hours, there would be a structure waiting to have its roof put on and its windows put in. And we're literally talking about rebuilding the homes in the Bahamas and other situations.
And the throughput, the throughput is aggregate, is concrete?
It's concrete. So so when it solidifies, it's much more solid than
right.
the stick houses, you know, the
right.
wood houses that they
right.
put up. And can handle water much better, you know, in case, I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's actually the perfect material.
And, so, and a better insulation, and a better insulation. Things like concrete walls can be, you know, a lot cooler. So that's very interesting. You know, one of the things, folks, that I got to give Joel some props. One of the first things he started talking to us about 13 years ago was 3D printing, when almost no one had heard of it. Now it's part of our life. Not only in devices, parts of devices that you use, components of things that you use, but in construction, we've talked about that a number of times, but also in medicine, in health issues, health related issues. Right, Joe?
The technology is extraordinarily flexible, and what the house shows is that it can scale up really big.
Mm-hmm.
And so once you have that process of putting down the concrete according to forms, there's no stopping it. I mean, just think about
mm-hmm.
how you would feel if 12 hours after they started your house, they said, no, we're going to put the roof on tomorrow.
Right.
And the door is in, and you'll be able to move in 5 days.
You'll be in the dry. Yeah, exactly. That's really amazing. And that's the kind of thing that the world can come together and contribute to rebuilding a place like that. And because as you know, Joel, they didn't just lose their homes, they lost their marketplaces. The people who come there, they want to go to a store and buy food. They You don't realize like when the hurricane hits a place like Houston, some of those little communities, it wasn't just that the houses got flooded, but the businesses were out of business. The marketplace was dead.
Yep, and again, this will be able to print up some things for that as well.
Faster.
The challenge, I think, and this will be interesting, and I'm sure they'll test the house, is what level of winds can the concrete walls withstand? My guess is it's got to be pretty high because it's very rigid material.
Well, if you put rebar, if you reinforce it with steel, that's the key. And of course, they have to be thick enough. We don't know how thick the walls are, do we? Are they 4-inch, 6-inch?
Well, what we know is they print actually an outside wall and then a weaving tube of concrete inside, so that you have a dead air space for insulation, and another wall inside that.
Wow!
So you have a kind of a three-wall structure,
and the air space is an insulation itself. So,
yes,
good information, good report from our good friend Joel Barker on 3D printing of a house. Quick break. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.